The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. And I just, my message this morning is about flourishing in a place where God is. And that, just those couple of verses that I just read there, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, thinking of, a couple messages back already about Anna and Simeon and spending a lot of their time in the house of the Lord. And they were flourishing. Even in old age, they were bearing fruit. And I'm just going, well, we want to be where God is at, okay? And I think God, I know God is everywhere. I understand that He's, omnipresent? There's a number of omnis out there. The omnipresent, God is everywhere at all times. And yet, there are some places, it may be that God isn't more present here than He is somewhere else. It's just He's a little bit more visible to us. He's, our eyes are a little bit more able to see Him. Our ears are a little bit more able to hear Him in a place like this. When people gather together in His name to worship God, to hear from Him, to get closer to Him, like the song that we sang, I want to know You more, Lord. That should be the prayer of every believer's heart. God, yeah, I know You, You saved me, and I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm walking as a child of the light. But God, I want to know You more. I want to know Your ways better. I want to understand You more. And there are certain places that that tends to happen. It's like there's a veil over our eyes a lot of the time, but when we come into the house of the Lord, or when we're together with other believers, I'm going to go through a number of things this morning that have to do with places where it seems as though God is nearer to us. He's not really. It's just our perception. We see Him more. We understand more of who He is. And so, but being near to God starts with a desire. Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4. How lovely is Your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even Your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in Your house. They will still be praising You. Hallelujah. Nearness to God starts with a desire for God. You want to get closer to God? It really starts with a longing, with a desire, with a hunger. And I'm not sure. I suppose hanging around other believers and as we share with each other and as we encourage each other, sometimes we tend to be causing people to be hungry for more of God. And that's a good thing. When we share testimonies, like sometimes we do, share a testimony about what God has done for us, what we're really saying to everybody who's listening, who's hearing us is, God can do this for you too. And when we start thinking that way, like, yeah, God, You can do that for me too. God, I want to see that. I want that. And that's, again, it's part of the whole thing of desire. Drawing near to God starts with a desire. People who really don't have a lot of interest in the things of God, maybe because life is so good and they got it so made in so many ways, and a lot of times they don't, but they just think, well, why do I need to get near to God? I mean, I got everything I need. There's coming a time when they're going to realize that that's foolishness. I think that was part of Psalm 92 there too. People who aren't hungry and aren't interested in God will eventually find out that that should have been their desire and should have been something that they went after. And unfortunately, some people, it'll take to the end of their life, and it'll take a time on their deathbed to understand and know that they should have been drawn near to God for a long time. And here they are at the end of it all, realizing that maybe there's an eternity. Maybe there is a heaven and a hell. Maybe when I close my eyes and breathe my last breath, I'm going to be face to face with something that I didn't expect, that I didn't see coming. But for us, you know, when we long for God, as believers, having a desire, having a longing for God really causes us to say, God, whatever I can do to get closer, that's what I want. I'll skip down a little bit in Psalm 84, starting at verse 9. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. You know, I'm not sure if David wrote that psalm or one of the other people who wrote one of the psalms or some of the psalms, but it does sound like the writer of this psalm. That's what we need in church. We need the power. All right. Now, I hope you didn't get too distracted. Just understand and know you've got to have a desire. You want to know God more? I think most of us could say, yeah, I want to know God more. There's got to be a desire. There's got to be a longing. There's got to be things maybe even that we do. There are places that we go sometimes that really shouldn't be there, whether that's physical locations or whether that's on the internet or other kinds of things. But there are places that we need to gravitate toward in order to get closer to God. I think church is one of those. I understand I'm a pastor and I'm a little bit prejudiced. I think everybody should be in church. I think this place should be filled today. But you know what? It's filled up with a bunch of hungry people. That much I can say. People who said, okay, well, so what if it's winter? So if it's a little cold? So what? I'm just going to come out to church because I enjoy worshiping God. I enjoy hanging out with the saints. And I enjoy learning. You know, God may even teach me some today. You know, God will. You know, if we're open and we're desiring, God will teach us. God will lead us. God will help us. Amen? Now, I guess I skipped to a point or two already, but let's just go to Roman numeral number 2. Near to God through fellowship with the saints. Now, in some people's minds, that's kind of like, no, that don't make sense. If you want to get close to God, you just got to go after God with all your heart and ignore all of the saints. Ignore all of the people of God. Don't even hang around with them. In fact, I'll just say that's foolishness. That is foolishness. The people of God, if you're really a people of God and you really love God, well, then you'd like to hang around with people who are the same way. You know, there's people out in our world that just don't have our view. They just don't see things our way. You know, pretty much their world revolves around themselves and about what they want and what they desire. But for the people of God, you know, when what we want is just more of God and be closer to Him, we enjoy being with other people who are the same way. I mean, think about it. When people go out and find friends or have friends, usually there's something in common, something that those people like together. You know, I mean, some people hang out around a football game, or some people hang around at different kind of sports events, and, you know, they're friends with people who do the same thing, you know. But the people of God, I think this is one of their marks. They like hanging around with the people of God. And I know that sometimes we, as quote-unquote the people of God, as believers, we've got our strange things, our odd things, maybe our differences. But what we have in common is so much bigger. So much bigger. It's Jesus. It's Jesus Christ came to earth and died on a cross for me and for you. Amen? And If you don't have anything else to be thankful for and nothing goes right for the rest of your life until you die, if you have Jesus Christ, you've got heaven and you'll be there with him forever. I'll tell you what, that's worth celebrating as the people of God. That's worth thinking about. And it really is one of the things that draws us closer to God. Because when we've got this thing in common, this one thing, Jesus Christ, we can have our differences about different kinds of things. There are certain points in theology that we might be wrong on or a little bit off this way or that way, but yet we know Jesus and we know him as our Lord and Savior. We'll still get to heaven, and he'll straighten us out, believe me. When you get to heaven, and you'll have a little bit of time after the couple thousand years of worshiping God and another couple thousand years of fellowshipping with the saints, you may get some revelations about some things that you thought you knew here on earth that weren't quite right. You didn't see the whole picture. Amen. So, trust me, though, honestly, there are some things that are detrimental, and there are some things, if you don't believe them the right way, you don't even have a chance at eternity. You gotta get that stuff right. You gotta get the Jesus part right. You gotta get the being born again right. Amen. I think part of drawing near to God in this life before we see him face to face is getting to know him so that we can present our, God, here's my theological belief about a certain doctrine. What do you think about that, God? As opposed to, God, I know this is right, and all these other people are all messed up. You know what I'm saying? There are times when we should be able to be honest enough with God and just talk to him and say, God, what do you think about this? And don't be surprised if a scripture verse pops into your mind. And it wasn't the scripture verse that you're basing your whole theology on. Maybe I won't get into any details this morning on some of those things, but drawing near to God. Drawing near to God through worship. Psalm 22, verse 3 says, but you are holy who inhabit the praises of Israel. Did you know that God, the scriptures teach this, that God inhabits the praises of his people? That means when we worship God, God shows up. Have you ever experienced that? Even in a time of worship with a bunch of people, and we're all worshiping and praising God, and we're singing songs and reading the words on the overhead or whatever we're doing, and all of a sudden, it feels like there's more than just us here. It's almost like God sent a few angels to worship along with us, and God himself is pleased, and he is enthroned on our praises. There's something special about praising God. It invites his presence. And where his presence is, listen, well, it says that there's fullness of joy. Amen. You want some revelation from God, it is in his presence, and it is in praising and worshiping him. I guess, like I say, I skipped ahead a little bit before when I was talking about things, but walking with the godly. You want to draw near to God. You want to be closer to him. You want to have a desire for more of him. Listen to what it says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Drawing near to God, getting closer to God, involves walking not in the counsel of the ungodly. Meaning, when there are people who don't know Jesus, and they come up to you and say, hey, I got some advice for you. You should always be asking yourself, what kind of advice could an ungodly person give me? Now, maybe they can. I understand, sometimes they, but we also have to be instead of be willing to swallow everything that we hear. You've heard the term hook, line, and sinker. it's what a fish does sometimes when it's about to get caught. But sometimes we believe things without really filtering those things through the Scripture, through the Word of God. What does God's Word say? If somebody gives me some kind of advice, and I go, "Well, yeah, it sounds good. It sounds smart. Sounds like there's a lot of wisdom in that." But what does God's Word say? It's one of the things that, for us, it was a focus. I know I'm sidetracking a little bit, but a focus for us when our kids were younger. You know, sometimes we would be watching some PBS special on Channel 10 or Channel 36, and they'd be talking about, you know, some kind of fish in the ocean or the stars in the sky, and they'd say, "Yeah, evolution is so awesome and wonderful," you know. And, you know, I would just mute the TV for a second, not to block what was being said. But for me, as a parent, I said, I want this to be a teaching moment. So, kids, Sarah and David, what do you think about what that guy just said? Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's right. That's right. And I guess that's the mindset that we all have to have. It's not just other people that you're influencing or your kids, but you need to also be guarding your mind when you hear something, and maybe it even sounds smart. You need to say, what does God's Word say? Does God's Word have anything to say about this? There were times when we would hear something about some child who was some teenager on TV who was being kind of rebellious and rude and nasty to their parents. And we would say, so, what does the Bible say about that kind of behavior? Well, the Bible says that we should honor our mother and our father. So again, stuff's going to happen. You can't guard yourself from hearing everything and all of the bad stuff and all the dumb stuff and all the bad advice. But one thing you can do is you can have an attitude that says, I'm going to filter this. I'm going to look at this in light of what the Scriptures say and in light of what God says. I suppose we could all become hermits of some kind or another and, you know, live in a cave somewhere, make sure that we got, you know, 6 months or a year's worth of food supply in a cave with us, and we'll not be, and don't turn on the radio or anything like that. You won't be affected by any dumb ideas or any bad ideas. But that's not the reality of our world. You know, we live in a world, it's a fallen world. We live in a world where people believe all sorts of goofy things. And sometimes you hear the things and you just go, really? You mean you actually believe that? It would be best to say, you know what? I don't know about what that says or about whether that's right or wrong, but here's what I do know. This is what God says. You know, and I read some of them this morning. They shall still bear fruit in old age. I rely on that. I look at that scripture verse and I say, yeah, the world is telling me I'm getting older and I'm not going to be able to do this and I'm not going to be able to do that. And maybe some things are not operating as good as they could be, like my throat, although it's doing all right this morning. But I'm just going to say, you know what? God, you've blessed me. You've anointed me. I'll take that. I'll go with that instead of what I'm thinking or what other people are telling me. You know, you walk in God's counsel, you're blessed. If you walk in the counsel of the world, you know, and the people in the world, you're not blessed. You're unblessed. Is there such a thing as being unblessed? there might be. But being blessed is what I'll take, all right? And if I want to be blessed by God, then I got to listen to His advice. And I got to do things His way. Amen? Be where God is and experience His blessings. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Oh, two good instructions there. I think that's good advice. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Amen? On God's faithfulness. Dwell in the land, feed on the faithfulness of God. whatever God's provision for you is. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, there are a lot of times I've heard people quote that verse, delight yourself in the Lord also, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And the whole focus of the message and the whole focus was, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But the first part of that verse, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Listen, when you are delighting yourself in the Lord, when you are just going, God, you're all I need, you're all I want, when you delight yourself in the Lord, it's going to affect your desires. Okay? And you're going to desire the right things. And he shall give you the desires of your heart. And if the desire of your heart is, God, I want more of you, he'll give that to you. Amen? Trying to think of a verse that's in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. There's the desire. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. It says, they will be filled. Amen? Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And God says he'll fill you. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Amen. Hallelujah. He who dwells, I guess I've described that at times in the past, and I said, he who dwells in the secret place, that means the person who hangs out where God is at. Amen. And when you do that, you'll say, just like the psalmist here says, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in you I'm going to trust. Amen. Be where you are reminded of God's promises. Well, this is a good place for that. Quite often I might be reading verses and out of the scriptures that remind us of who God is and of his faithfulness and of his promises. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Listen to these benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Hallelujah. Who forgives all your iniquities. Thank you, Jesus. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Pardon and healing and redemption, God's favor and compassion fulfills our desires with good things in order to renew us. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we need to remind ourselves quite often. I realize that this is sometimes just a Sunday thing or a Wednesday thing. People get reminded of God's word, God's promises. But I would suggest to you that you should be spending time every single day in his word. Whether that's a whole bunch of chapters or a half a chapter, or sometimes you're rushing and you're late for everything and you just have time for a couple of verses, but open up that book and read it. Take in the promises of God. Because when you're reminded of his promises, it will affect your perception and your understanding and the nearness of God to you. Amen. God is near. But sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes we ask questions like, God, where are you? And there are times when he remains silent for his reasons. I'm not understanding all of them. But sometimes God is just saying, just press in. Just get a little closer. The reason you can't hear me is because I'm speaking with a still small voice. I'm not shouting. So it means we got to get to a quiet place. We got to get to a secret place. We got to get to that place of just me and God. You know, at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning or whenever you get up, and spend time in God's Word. Spend time reading. Spend time opening up His Word. And remind yourself that He's a faithful God. I mean, there's so many things in the Bible that are reminders of that. In fact, God told the Israelites, remember this. Sometimes He would tell them, pile up a pile of rocks over here. And when your children and your children's children ask you, what about this pile of rocks here? Then tell them the story. Tell them the story about how God was faithful and He brought us right across through on dry land into the promised land. Amen? Hallelujah. Be where Jesus Christ is lifted up. You want to draw near to God, then be in those places where God, where Jesus is lifted up, where He's honored, where He's reverenced. Philippians 4:8. Paul is telling us how to think. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Hallelujah. Jesus is all this and more. You meditate on the good things of God. You dwell on the good things of God. I know some people, and most of the time they're not people that I know in church, who are pretty much negative all the time. Woe is me, and everything is wrong, and everything's a problem. And I understand there's a lot of stuff going on in our world today that's not right, that's messed up. And it's not like we shouldn't maybe think about those just a little bit. I would suggest to you that when you hear about all the bad stuff in the world and all the disasters that are happening, all the problems, it should be a call to prayer. Amen? It should be a call to us to say, all right, God, I'm not going to dwell on that stuff, but I'm going to pray. Now, I'm going to pray for the breakthrough, and I'm going to pray that God sends revival. Amen? Let those things that we think about, the things that are true and noble, just and pure, let those things be the things that motivate us and drive us. Hallelujah. John 14, I'm going to close with this. John 14, chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, we could just stay there, couldn't we? You don't need to read much. Let not your heart be troubled. What are you bothered about? What is your problem? Don't you know the King of the universe is on your side? Amen. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Oh, that's good. Believe also in me, Jesus said. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hallelujah. You know what? That's the ultimate goal. In life, our goal is get closer to God, get nearer to God, know God more. And in death, it's the same. That where I am, there you may be also. It's Jesus' desire for us to be with Him. And I think it's good and right for us to have that same desire. God, I know you want to be with me, but I want to be with you too. So Lord, when it's good and ready for me to come home, that'll be all right. But God, until then, help me to be faithful. Help me to know you here in this place, in this fallen and dark world. Help me to be a light for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. A day in your courts. Hallelujah. A day in your courts. Better than 1,000 any place else. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up this morning and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we give you praise and thanks this morning. Lord, you're near even now. You've reminded us once again of all of your great promises, of all of your faithfulness. Hallelujah. You are a God who has good intentions for us. You are a God who has a good plan for us. Hallelujah. And you have a good destination for us. When it's all said and done, we'll be with you. We'll be there before your glory, before your throne, worshiping you. So until that time, help us, Lord, to draw near. Help us to do the things, Lord, that will cause us to be near and to draw near to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, bless your people this morning. Lord, as we are ready to leave this part and fellowship with the saints, God, I pray that you would just walk with us, go with us, and guard and shield our minds. Hallelujah. And I'm mindful that someone might be hearing me this morning who doesn't know Jesus, isn't born again, has never really come to know him as Lord and Savior. Not in this way, anyways. And I just want to invite you this morning. If that's you, I'd like you to say, yes, Jesus, I want what's been talked about this morning. I want to walk with you. I want a nearness to you. I want to be closer to you. I want to be delivered from the devil's tricks and traps and from all of this negative stuff. I want to become a child of God. And if that's your heart and that's your desire, then you just tell him that this morning. Say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I've done wrong. I've sinned. I've acted wrong. I've thought wrong. But please forgive me. Come into my life. Come into my heart and save me. Adopt me, Lord, into your family. And I just thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints.